If it went by feelings this morning, I tell you, I don't feel like preaching this morning. I don't feel like I could preach this morning. Amen. But I know what the Lord's laid on my heart and has for several weeks, this message. And I'll probably make a mess out of it. Is that about right, brother? Not always understand what God's doing. No, because His ways are different than ours. We don't always understand it all. And I don't understand this morning. I really don't. But I know God's good. Amen. And I know most of us been fighting hell by the acre. No doubt about that. And we felt so much oppression. And Brother Mike just hit the nail on the head. We feel like we got all the problems in the world. But we ain't got nothing. And we're just in the battle that we're supposed to be in. Right. Amen. Exactly. That's it. We're just in the battle. And that's what's going on. Amen. But there's other folks in a whole lot worse shape than we are. Amen. They are. They are. But we're in a battle. And it's going to be that way till Jesus comes. And Wednesday night, I can't explain what happened Wednesday night, brother. I'm telling you what. Three weeks, I felt like I'd never get a hold of God and hadn't felt God around. And just for a few moments, God let me pray. And I got to spend a little time with God and get a little breath. And God let me know that He's still real and He still cares. Hey, listen, He ain't gone nowhere, amen. I'm telling you what, things ain't changed. God still wanting to do something around here, amen. And God's wanting to help us. Man, listen, that's the battle. That's just part of it, amen. God, we're just going to have to be in it, amen. But He equips us to fight in the battle, amen. He gives us armor to put on, amen. He gives us things from His Word that we could stand in this battle, amen, and fight, amen. When you've done all to stand, stand, amen. We got to stand, amen, for God. And that's what we're going to do. When you think you beat down, let's God take a breath and get back up and go at it. That's what we got to do, amen. There's got to be some determination in ourselves, amen. We can't lean on everybody else. We can't have a crutch, amen. It's the Lord, it's God, and that's who we got to depend on, amen. You got to be some determination in ourselves to do something, amen. Motivate yourself. Amen. David said, I don't know why I like that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it's got to be you. Amen. Can I quit now? All right. That ain't what I was going to preach on. But I tell you, it's the, amen. But listen, I don't know how this is going to go, brother. But if you got your Bible, why don't you turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This thing here today, this is more than I could comprehend the most part of it, but I'm going to try. Listen, there's something we need and there's something we want around here this morning. Amen? The church. I'm going to preach to the church and I'll try to preach to the lost man this morning. So if you're here saved or lost this morning, I hope God give you something out of this. But in John chapter 1, He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In verse 12 it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name." Now in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, when He told and spoke the parable of the sower, and when Christ come and validated this thing and verified it unto His disciples about the parable of the sower, the seed, and the seed being sown, He said in verse 8 of Luke, verse 11, chapter 8 of Luke, He said, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." Amen. Now listen, the seed is the Word of God. Over in John chapter 1, who is the Word? Amen. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we preach, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. He's the Word, but He's the seed, and He's to be sown and broadcast, and He's to be proclaimed. Amen. The gospel is to be heralded throughout this world. Amen. But He says the seed is the Word of God. And what I want to try to bring across this morning, what's the purpose of the seed? Amen. This morning, what's the purpose of the seed? Now this morning, can you hear this? We're talking about the seed and the purpose of the seed. And there's something that you do with a seed and when you got a seed. If the seed is the Word of God, then the seed has got to be broadcast. It's got to be planted. You're going to fix a yard, you prep the ground and you broadcast the seed and sow the seed. You plant a garden, you plow out, you get the ground ready and you plant the seed. And a seed, when the seed is sown or a seed is planted, it's planted for the purpose of bringing forth life. Amen. It's going to bring forth life. It said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it bring forth no fruit. Amen. But a seed has got to be planted. It's got to be sown. But listen to this morning. I'm going to try to the best of my ability. God, help me this morning. Listen, the seed is the Word of God, and it's got to be sown. And what does he say over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2? What did he say? Preach the Word. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season. Amen. The Word of God is preached for a reason. This seed is sown for a reason. It's told and preached before men and women, boys and girls. And God's trying to sow something in the heart of men and get a hold of somebody's heart, amen, to put something in them that'll bring them unto life. If you got saved, it took the preaching of the Word of God. It took that seed to be sown in your heart to sprout up unto life, amen, to bring you out of the deadness of your sin where you was at, amen. Listen, and brought you to life. Amen. The seed had to be sown, conceived in a man's heart. Amen. Listen, the seed has to be sown. Therefore, that's why we preach the Word. That's why our pastor stands and preaches the gospel and salvation, gun barrel straight, simple as can be. But I'm telling you what, listen, it takes the preaching of the Word of God, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, amen, to save lost men and women. Amen. Is that not true? Now listen. But listen, he talks about that seed. And listen, when we preach and we're broadcasting that seed, we're trying to plant a seed. But I want to tell you something, church. Now when it comes to the church, there's a relationship between the church and Christ. Amen. He said in Romans 7, I'd have you therefore be married unto another, even to him that's raised from the dead. It's God, if you're saved, born again, you're in a marital relationship. Amen. Is that not right? That's what the Word of God says. He likens our relationship unto the marriage. We've entered into a covenant with Christ. But listen, when a man and a woman gets married and they become husband and wife, there's something that's desired amongst them and between them, amen, Brother Mike, and that is to have children, amen, to bring forth children, to procreate, amen. Old Testament, you'll read over there, it talks about the seed in the loins of a man, amen. Listen, it's in there. And listen, now it's not going to be graphic. You don't got to be real educated to get a hold of this thing, amen. But listen, there comes a time in that relationship between husband and wife and they desire children, amen. The seed is within man, amen, to put in the womb of his wife, amen, that a child could be conceived, amen. Listen, but listen to this. This morning I want to try to tell you this. Now you're in a marital relationship, amen. Listen, and if you're wanting to have children, my friend, listen, if you deny the marriage bed, you ain't going to have no children. Amen. I'm telling you what, when you deny that thing and deny the marriage bed in marriage, amen, you're not going to bring forth any children. And matter of fact, then you bring hurt and you've rejected your spouse one or the other. I'm telling you, and it brings hurt, amen. Listen, the relationship with the church in Christ is the same thing. Listen, when that spouse desires the company of the other, amen, in that marriage bed, amen, listen, they're wanting to spend time. It's an empathy. An intimate thing, and it's a personal thing, something that they want and they desire, and God made that for a purpose, amen, for us to do that and have that relationship, amen. That's God, that we won't burn in the flesh and be tempted by the devil, amen. Listen, but there's times when God will show up and he wants to spend time with you, amen. Amen. Listen, this is the Word of God. I know it. Amen. Listen, when God will come by. Brother Jesse, you've been there. We've all been there. God will show up, come by and just start loving us and want to spend a little time with us. Amen. Listen, how many times have you shrugged him off? How many times have you shrugged him off? And it's not right now. You hurt God. I hurt God's feelings when we do that. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, the pastor says it. He don't say it to be saying to sound spiritual, sound preachy. The Holy Ghost is sensitive, amen. Listen, when God shows up, He's wanting to love on us and fellowship with us, and He's wanting to do something in the house of God. But listen, as a husband and wife would desire children and want to have children, amen, listen, and fill their house and their home with children, amen. And I know everybody don't get granted that opportunity, and my heart breaks for you, Sister Laura. I know the things if you went through somewhat. But I'm telling you what, you and Brother Mike, especially when he started pastoring, you've dealt with more snotty noses and bratty kids than anybody. Amen? You've had a house full and had your hands full. I know. I've been around almost 20 years now. I know what it's like. Listen, you got youngins that you don't know of, and spiritually speaking. But listen, husband and wife desires children. Listen, that's between the bridegroom and the bride. Their desire is to have children. Is it not then to reckon and be absolutely right that God, Jesus Christ, His bride, the church, He wants children. Amen? Yes, isn't that what He said? Yes, He said, listen, He said there, in the preaching of the word, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, babies. In Galatians 3, verse 1, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Listen, God wants children, church. He wants some babies. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesse started an epidemic around here in the physical. Amen. That little fella he's got. And then now Johnny and Allie's pregnant. A little Brittany's had a baby. We got babies being born. And that's in the physical realm. That's the flesh. Listen, there's some spiritual babies, I believe, that are in the womb in the house of God. Amen. God has dealt with some hearts. God has sown His word in some hearts. But there's this thing about pregnancy, amen, that I can't understand all this and I can't explain it, amen. But I can just tell you from the experience, from me and my wife when she was carrying my son. But listen, there's a time in pregnancy. Listen, the seed is conceived in the womb of that woman. The word of God is conceived in the heart of a person, of a lost person. There's conception, amen, that takes place, amen, in somebody's heart. And there's a gestation period. It's Holy Ghost conviction, amen. I'm telling you, when God's dealing with a soul and dealing with you, amen, it's a time of conviction. I tell you what, but the church, that's God, when there's a time of conviction, the words be conceived in their heart. We labored in prayer that God get a hold of them, and now we're carrying that baby, amen. Praise God. Where she's in the womb, and we're carrying some of y'all in prayer. That's God we're calling. My back's about to kill me, amen, because I've been carrying you around and carrying you to God, amen, this morning. But listen, I'll tell you what, that God's trying to help you this morning, amen. But listen, that conviction, that gestation period is going to take place. That's God in there in that time. Listen, we've labored and told in prayer. When a husband and wife come together, there's some physical labor in the conception of that child. There's work in it. A church, there's work in getting these babies in, amen. Getting them to God. Listen, we can't lay it on the pastor. You can't lay it all on just a few, amen. I'm telling you what, it's together, the church, the bride of Christ. If we're saved, born again, He said we're one body, fitly joined together, amen. That's God, amen. We're carrying this load together. Don't leave the brother and sister hanging, amen. Listen, one can't carry it all. But listen, the woman is designed, and the woman's body is made to bear that load, amen. Amen. So think not that God ain't designed the church to carry this load, amen. He's going to help us, amen. We're the bride of Christ, amen. But listen, that time of labor that conceived the seed, and then there we're carrying them. Listen, I know we get in great heaviness in prayer over lost souls. Amen. We feel the condemnation of God is upon that man or woman because they're lost. Amen. And God puts that burden upon us, and we start praying for them. For God to get a hold of them, God, speak to their heart, and He puts their word in their heart, and we rejoice for the fact that we realize that conception has taken place, amen, and the burden sort of eases for a while. The woman, and listen, they're carrying that baby, it maybe not be all that much pain and all that much duress, amen, but listen, we got a carrier, amen, and listen, the pregnancy, and it proceeds and goes forth. Oh, listen, the woman has a responsibility. When she conceives, child, she'll care for herself and care for that child in the womb, amen, amen. Amen. Listen, she's got to take care of herself to care for the child before it's ever born. Amen. Listen, and this may not, this might just make an application with this scripture, Pastor, this morning. Listen, the church has got to take care of herself when the church becomes pregnant, and that's what God is trying to get us to do, to a place where we've never been before. Get out of the state where we're at, amen, under the oppression of being exposed to the sin of this world, amen, all these things. But over here in 1 Timothy 2, I know it expressly speaks about a woman's position in the church and so forth and so on, but the last verse, verse 15, it's the bride, the wife here, the woman he's talking about, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if, listen to that, a conditional word, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and with sobriety, amen. At church, did you hear that, ladies? He said here, if you shall be saved in childbearing. He didn't say it'd be painless, amen, when you had a baby. He said you'll be saved. I believe it'll be reduced. And I've watched women who walked godly and bore children, Brother Mike, and when they had that child, I didn't see a whole lot of anguish on their face. Amen. Listen, it's the Word of God. Listen, they'd be saved in child if they continue in what? Faith. Faith, church, we got to continue. Do you believe God's going to do what He says He's going to do? What does He burden your heart about? That person He's burdened your heart about. Continue in the faith, amen. Continue in charity. We got to love one another, amen. Listen, the bride has got to take care of herself. Continue in love. Love one another. Love the sinner, amen. Listen, and this, and holiness, amen. And that's the biggest thing for us, amen. As He said, I'm holy, therefore be ye holy. We ought to walk in holiness, amen. We want to be closer to God than we ever be in church. I'm telling you, why do we need to be closer to God than we've ever been? Amen. Because we need to be healthy. We need to be clean. Amen. I'm telling you what, for an environment where babies can be born. Amen. 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 Listen. Right, the gestation period when God's dealing with us souls and the woman's carrying the child. But one time, sooner or later, there's a time of delivery coming, amen. Delivery, there's a due date set for that baby, amen. And listen to this, delivery, when delivery time is at hand, it says the mother that starts to feel those birth pangs. There's the signs will start happening. Those of you had multiple children, amen, you know this for a fact. There's things, and you recognize it pretty soon off the bat, amen. There's things that forerun the coming forth of that child, amen. There's telltale signs that labor's getting ready to begin, amen, that child is getting ready to be born. But listen, there's signs. Oh, it's going to take place when there's some getting ready to be born. And when we know that for the church, for the fact that we know that God has dealt with hearts and conception of the Word of God has taken place in hearts, amen. I'm telling you, there's going to be a due date. There's a due date set for some of y'all in here this morning that's lost, amen. God has dealt with you. He said, man, listen, that mother starts to feel those birth pains. And listen, when she starts to feel those pains, and when they get strong enough, amen, listen, the mother will position herself to deliver that child, amen. Amen. I know it's the work of God, amen. I know God does the delivering. I know God saves the soul, amen. But church, that's God, we're His bride. Amen. He loves us, amen. That's God, and He wants us to be in position. That's God to bring forth these children, amen. Get from the state where we're at to another place, I mean, closer to God, amen. Amen. Get positioned. Amen. Listen, it's important. Amen. We need the help of God and get in position with God that we can bring forth some babies. Listen, there's intense times of prayer in the church. It's God, and I'm telling you that I don't understand all this, Pastor. I don't. It's God. God will burden you about somebody and about their soul and them being lost. And you'll pray, and you'll pray in fervency for a great while sometimes. And God will let you pray, and God help you pray for them. Amen. Listen, then it ease off. But that God, the Word God conceived in their heart, we know God dealt with them. Amen. Amen. Listen, I don't know if this be right or not. All of a sudden the pain hits again for that person, and it's been a while. I might be getting close, you reckon? Amen. Getting close. I don't know, spiritually speaking, a mother in the physical body, she'll recognize them birth pains, she'll recognize those signs. Is it hard for us as the church sometimes to recognize that when it's at hand? We got to know it's pretty close because we know some's in the womb. There's some in there. It's got to be close. It's close for some of y'all. It's close. God's trying to help you. God's trying to get you out of the darkness of sin this morning. Listen, God's dealt with you. The mother's positioned for delivery. The child in the womb. But now listen to this. Back in 2005, my son getting ready to be born. He came 2 months early. We were laying in the bed asleep, Brother Mike. A little after midnight, sometime after midnight, my wife wakes me up, says, "Come here, I want to show you something." We go to the restroom. She got up and went to the restroom. She said, "What's that?" And I'm standing there about to pass out looking to that. And I'm, well, that's what they described to us, one of the first signs that you're getting ready to go into labor. Called the plug was shed from that womb. Man, that happens first. We lay back down and go to sleep. They said, "Don't worry about that when that happens. Start watching, counting the time. If you start having contractions, counting the time between them." We lay back down and go to sleep. And I'm laying there snoring my head off. And then I feel... I went, "What?" And my wife goes, "It's time to go." I said, "Time to go war. It's dark outside." I said, "What do you mean it's time to go? My contractions are this many minutes apart." And they said, "When that happens, get to the hospital." And we did. 4 o'clock in the morning. We walk into that hospital. They get her checked in. They call her OB doctor. He finally gets there 3 hours later. He ought to have been a Baptist preacher too, shouldn't he? Amen. Listen, comes in that room, and the first thing he does, he was in the hospital, by the way. He's there in an emergency surgery that morning. He had surgery he was doing. But listen, when he got there in that room, first thing he done was an ultrasound, brother. He took that thing. And it was different than the one they had in the office. You know, they go back and forth and just get bits and pieces seeing that. When he laid that thing up on my wife, and there, and you could see the head and part of the torso, a little Isaac in that womb there, and soon on that screen. And when he put it on there, and he's sitting there just for a moment and got that thing positioned, when he looked at the screen, all of a sudden the baby moves. He was sitting upright. That baby moved and turned. Turned in that womb. Dr. Venus says, "Honey, you're going to have a baby today. You're going to have a baby." Turn. Listen, there's a word in the Word of God, amen, that means turn. And it's called repentance, my friend. That's one definition. I know repentance means a change of mind toward God. But another definition, that word repent, is to turn, amen. Listen, when all the telltale signs of labor's beginning, amen, and a baby's getting ready to be born, the mother positions herself. Listen, my friend, if you're here lost today, this is all that we can do. As the church, we can position ourselves to get a hold of God, to try to get a hold of God, to help you get born again and get you in the family of God. But listen, I found this out for the fact of another relative that went through a pregnancy. But listen, it's up to that child and that woman, amen, to turn and head toward the birth canal, amen. God has tried to work faith and repentance in your heart, amen. But there's a decision that you've got to make this morning. It's to turn to God or reject Him, amen. Over in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet pleaded with Israel, why will you not turn? Oh Israel, why will you die, amen? Why do you want to stay in the deadness of your sins? Why do you want to stay in the darkness that you're in, amen, this morning? Why don't you turn to God, amen? We take you as far as we can take you this morning. As God is between you and the Lord now. Listen, you need to turn toward God. We position ourselves and done the best we can do. And now it's up to you. You got to turn, amen. But listen, what breaks my heart about this thing, amen. Listen, that baby will turn in the womb when at that time when it's getting started and head toward that birth canal. But listen, I had a cousin, listen, that she carried a child. She had her due date. Now listen to this. And I don't understand all of this. But listen, when she carried that child, her due date come and her due date passed. And she's still carrying that child. Her body, Brother Jesse, listen, Sister Nita, her body went in to labor. She knew that body. Her, she was going to bring that child forth, amen, one way or another. And that reason, listen, I don't believe Christ wants His bride to suffer or to hurt, amen. Now listen, that child at some point in time has got to come out of that womb. It's got to come out. Her due date come, and her due date passed. Way past, I mean. Her body started the process to get that child out of that womb. Inside that womb, things would start breaking down in the body, Brother Mike. And things had started breaking down. The doctors were doing everything they could, trying to do everything they could to provoke that birth and make it safe. But listen, that body, because that child, when it started, the child never would turn. Never would turn. You said, well, we have breech births all the time. Can they come out feet first? So forth and so on. I mean, you could go all that. But listen what I'm saying. Lost friend this morning, he said, the hardened notch in the neck. You need to be tender when God speaks to you. Yes. You need to do business with God. As that body, as that mother would somehow get that out of her body, that child wouldn't. It's going to come out somehow so that she will be spared. I don't believe the Lord's going to let us kill ourselves over these that won't turn, Brother Mike. There'll come a time when God will draw for you. It could happen. And He'll deal with you no more. And we wonder sometimes why we can't pray for somebody. It could be that God's done with them. It breaks my heart. But I don't know. It's just I don't believe that He's going to let His precious bride suffer over those that will not turn. But listen, this morning, if that's you, my friend, if that baby don't turn, the baby's life is in great jeopardy. The mother's life is in great jeopardy. But the body will start performing things and doing things. And God will do this in His own way in the church. Listen, there ain't nothing radical, drastic we need to do or act upon. Amen. I'm telling you, He's the head of the body and He's in control. Now listen to this. It's God, if there's some of those that ain't going to turn, God's going to take care of that, remove them out of the way, or just to take that pain away from messing with them, and we'll not have to deal with them no more. I'm telling you, but life is in jeopardy. Amen. And the mother and a baby, it's the physical. But I'm telling you, spiritually, it's your soul and it's eternity this morning. If you don't turn to God, listen, you're facing death. Amen. Well, everybody dies, preacher. That ain't what he's talking about, the physical death. When it comes to the time of judgment, when you stand in judgment before God and you're cast into that lake of fire, he said, this is the second death. It's eternal separation from God. It's over. There's no other opportunity. That's done. It's danger of death. And there, it's a scary time. Amen. It's a scary time. It's a scary time. When that little fella come along back there, I was anxious anticipating the day when he'd get here, and so was my wife. And when he come two months and something early, as she got so upset, she said, I enjoyed being pregnant. And I'm like, I don't enjoy carrying this biscuit basket around. How can you enjoy carrying that baby around? But listen, I come to understand that. It's going to see God work in the church. I mean, God getting a hold of people. I enjoy that. Seeing that conception take place and God dealing with souls. We enjoy that. Amen. There's an anticipated day. Anticipation. She spent 30 plus hours in labor. Because he was coming early, they stopped the labor, sent us to Forsyth. And when he said she's having a baby today, he didn't realize he's telling a lie. It's sometime up in the next day. And I was tired and I was about to die, I thought. Listen. In that delivery room, when them pains got to a certain point, them nurses said, honey, you're going to start to push. I'm telling you, what if we can recognize them birth pains, brother? Yes. It comes to a point, God's going to get on us again. We're going to start pushing. And that's what He's trying to provoke us to, church, I believe. That's God's conditions. Got to be right. Amen. Time's got to be right. It's got to be there. Going to push. You're going to push here in a little bit, honey. And it got to a certain point. And I tell you what, my wife's tougher than a pine knot, amen. They got this thing they hook up to them to measure the contractions on there. I'm bragging on them a little bit. That's one of them mountain women, brother. Listen, they was measuring them contractions, amen. And they got up to a certain point, and then one of them nurses come out and looked at that thing, and she had a contraction. That nurse goes, looks at her, says, my God, and he said, most women done a long time ago had that epidural stuck in their back. She's tough. I tell you, don't mess with her. It finally almost peaked the scale before she ever asked for that shot. Hey man, the pain's got that strong. But then she for sure knew it was time. Hey man. But she labored in pushing that child. And they got monitors. They reached by hook a monitor to the baby, monitors on the mother, and so forth and so on. And they told me, said, when she starts pushing and delivering, if that child's heart rate drops so low, after on three tries, they'll stop and do surgery. Guess what? All that happened. And I'm standing up. I'm scared. I don't really know what to do. Church, we're to a point, we're scared, and we don't really know what to do. So who we got to depend on? The only person, ones I had to depend on down there is that doctor, them doctors. They went to their limit on that. And then that nurse says, all right, honey, you're going to push again in a few minutes. And I'm standing there under my breath, walked over in the corner, praying to God. They said if it went to this point right here and this happened, that happened, they'd stop it. And they're going to do surgery and take the baby. Amen. And I'm like, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And they get ready. But she positions her again to get ready to push. Amen. And the doctor's busting the door and said, stop. We're going to surgery. After 30 plus hours in labor. Stops. And now she's got to be prepped for surgery. Boy, we'll get tired. In other words, what I'm trying to say. We can get tired. But there's help on the way. They come in that room, prep her for surgery, go to surgery. They do a cesarean. The baby's got to come out some way. And God's going to perform one of two things. There's a birth going to take place somewhere in the way or another. The baby's coming out of the womb, either alive or dead. The surgeon walks in the room and looks at me and says, "Sir, today," he said, "a cesarean, they talk like that's just a thing to do nowadays and it's nothing to it. And this dude, I don't know where he's from in Europe, whatever, but he's a great surgeon." He said, "Sir," he said, "this is a major, major surgery." He said, "I don't care what anybody's told, a cesarean is a major, major surgery." He said, "Today you could lose your wife and your child." He said, "You got a 50-50 chance they'll make it." That's what he told me. And then he said, "Any surgery, when they put you under, it's a 50-50 chance. You might come out, you might not." But listen, we go into surgery. And my wife, I know, is exhausted. They prep. She's under anesthesia. Lays on that table. And when they gave her a little more of that, she's laying there snoring. She'd get mad at me for telling this story. My wife, she's laying on the surgery table snoring her head off. But she just spent 30-plus hours in labor, my friend. She's exhausted. She's laying there, the aid of that anesthesia, snoring. The anesthesiologist tells me they're going to get to a certain point, cut through a layer of skin, one layer of skin in the body that anesthesia will not affect. You'll feel that pain. We're going to feel some pain, church. There's a point somewhere we're going to feel it. They cut through that layer of skin. She said when they hit that, she'll wake up. Maybe there's going to come a point where we're going to wake up and realize what God's doing. And we need to wake up and realize what God's going to come. If they hit that layer, she wakes up on that table, wide awake, and goes, "Ah," screams in pain. And then they pass that. She's right back asleep, snoring again. And I'm standing there, "I can't figure all this out. I don't understand it all." Amen. But they get that open there and they reach in there. And she had come so far, the child, he had crammed, coming down the birth canal and crammed that close to being born. And but they had reached back and pulled that baby out. And there I see my son. They come out and they say that boy, a newborn baby is the most beautiful thing in the world. It might be to a mom, but I'm telling you what, he looked right ugly to me, amen. I'm telling you, he was blue and red and nasty looking. I'm telling you, when he come out of that thing, but they pick him up and this doctor's got a hold of him and brought him out of the womb. And he's holding him up over his head and he's got the cord in his hand holding it up like this and carrying him across the room to a table to clean him up, amen. Listen, he's been delivered, amen. Listen, amen. Hey, when God, amen, brings them forth, amen, that's God. They're going to clean that baby. That God will clean them up. It ain't up to us to do it, amen. God's going to take care of that, amen. I'm telling you what, that bless God, when they brought him out and they hold him up in the air, amen, he's all blue and he's blue, and I'm standing at God. I want to hear something. Give him breath, amen. I bring him to life. Amen. I'm telling you what, halfway across the room, that's God, you hear, and then you hear, wah! Amen. And I go, praise God, he's here, amen. That's God, I was rejoicing, amen. That's God, and he took that breath, and he cried. And then the next thing you see is a nice stream of water, and it landed on that dude's head, amen. Amen. I tell you what. Praise God. We can rejoice, amen. We're going to see some of them get the breath that they need from God to bring them to life, amen, church. But let's stay close to God, amen. Listen, amen. The bride needs to take care of herself, amen. The church needs to take care of herself. And we can bring forth these babies this morning. Praise God, I love you this morning. And Pastor, you take it. I'm about to follow, amen. Praise God.